Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 8th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
oil climbs after a key site in Saudi Arabia is attacked.
Stocks in China tumble while the NASDAQ leads U.S. futures lower.
Bond yields rise, stoking concern about lofty tech valuations.
President Biden's stimulus bill looks to sail through the House.
New York Governor Cuomo says there's no way he'll resign after more sexual harassment allegations, plus stunning comments from Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets have added former All-Star Blake Griffin. The Rangers lost. The Islanders and Devils both won.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are starting the week lower. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 29 points, Dow futures down 80, NASDAQ futures tumbling down 230 or 1.8%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. The 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 1.60%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with another jump in oil prices, this time after a key oil site in Saudi Arabia was attacked. The kingdom says the attacks were intercepted and output appears to be unaffected. We get the latest from Bloomberg Energy reporter Aaron Clark.
Rasnar is one of the world's largest oil terminals. It's capable of exporting roughly 6.5 million barrels a day, nearly 7% of global oil demand. And so it's really one of the world's most protected oil installations. So that's why you're seeing that jump in crude prices as a result of this.
Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen claimed responsibility for the attack and checking prices. Now, Brent crude had been trading above $70 a barrel. Now it's off that high at $69.50. NYMEX crude is up 0.3% or 19 cents at $66.23.
While oil is rising, we're seeing a big drop for stocks in Asia. With the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. China's CSI 300 entered a correction, closing down 3.5%. The index has fallen 13% from its February peak and erased all this year's gains as investors continue to offload relatively expensive shares. Tech stocks also struggled, sending the ChinaX and Hong Kong's Hang Seng lower. Elsewhere, Japan's Nikkei 225 was down 0.4% in Tokyo, erasing a morning advance as declines in electronics and telco companies offset gains in the banking and pharmaceutical sectors. In Singapore, Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Back here in the U.S., it is more of the same for stocks this morning. Futures led by the NASDAQ are lower while Treasury yields are rising. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. It is kind of a familiar story, John.
Yeah, Nathan, the NASDAQ futures this morning down 1.9% as bond yields continue to climb. There are concerns about lofty tech valuations, the index trading at more than 26 times forward earnings estimates. That's compared with its five-year average of less than 20 times. And the S&P 500 is trading at about 4.2 times book value, near its highest level in 20 years. BlackRock warns there's no immediate end in sight to the bond sell-off, which is drawing comparisons to the 2013 taper tantrum. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the House takes up the final version of President Biden's stimulus package tomorrow. The measure is expected to pass easily. And Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Senate made changes to the legislation over the weekend, but progressive Democrats are expected to vote for it. President Biden says checks could be sent out as early as this month.
Everything in this package is designed to relieve the suffering and to meet the most urgent needs of the nation and put us in a better position to prevail.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi predicts the bill will pass. She can only afford to have four Democrats oppose it. Two Democrats voted against the initial version. Enhanced unemployment benefits expire on March 14th, providing incentive for lawmakers to get the bill to President Biden's desk. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Almost a year after the coronavirus outbreak became a pandemic, health officials are still facing challenges in controlling the spread. Global cases just rose for a second week. Dr. Anthony Fauci says caseloads remain high, even as the U.S. recorded its fewest weekly infections since October.
We've seen that that decline is now essentially starting to plateau. And historically, if you look back at the different surges we've had, when they come down and then start to plateau at a very high level, plateauing at a level of 60 to 70,000 new cases per day is not an acceptable level.
Fauci spoke on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. So far, the U.S. has administered more than 90 million COVID vaccine doses. You can get the latest on the effort from our vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Cybersecurity is front and center this morning. A sophisticated attack on Microsoft's business email software is morphing into a global crisis. Microsoft is blaming a Chinese government-backed group for the hack. A senior U.S. official tells us it's claimed at least 60,000 victims around the world. Many of them appear to be small or medium-sized businesses.
And the co-founder of Microsoft is in the news this morning. Bill Gates is an investor in crowd safety firm Evolve Technologies. Now Evolve is combining with a special purpose acquisition company to go public. The deal values Evolve at about $1.7 billion. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is also an investor. Evolve uses artificial intelligence and data science to screen people for weapons and other threats.
Today, March 8th, is International Women's Day, and we're seeing new estimates that show empowering women could add trillions to the economy. We get the story from Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Bloomberg Economics estimates that if women's years of schooling and participation in the labor force converged with men in the same country, it would add about $20 trillion to global GDP by 2050. But that's ambitious because in many countries, barriers to women's education and employment are deeply entrenched. Policy is a huge part of that. So in the U.S., President Joe Biden is formally creating a gender policy council in the White House. It's part of two executive orders he'll sign today to mark International Women's Day. The council will work across the federal government's domestic and foreign policy to fight discrimination and bias, among other directives. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's highest-ranking state lawmakers are calling on Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo to step down. However, Cuomo, on a call with reporters, says there is no way he'll resign. Cuomo faces claims of sexual harassment from five women.
There are some legislators who suggest that I resign because of accusations that are made against me. I was elected by the people of the state. I wasn't elected by politicians. I'm not going to resign because of allegations.
Hours after Cuomo's remarks, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins called on the governor to step down, and Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie questioned whether Cuomo can effectively meet the needs of the people of New York. Meanwhile, more people in New York will soon be able to dine in. Governor Cuomo says in tandem with neighboring states, a few more New Yorkers will soon be able to eat indoors.
New York on March 19th, same day Connecticut goes to 100. Restaurants outside of New York City, which have been at 50%, will now go to 75%.
Cuomo also says the state will do about 850,000 vaccinations this week, an all-time record. There are some stunning comments in Prince Harry and Meghan's interview with Oprah Winfrey. The Duchess of Sussex says she came close to suicide while pregnant with Archie. She also told Oprah Winfrey and Harper Productions this about the royal family and her son.
We have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
Prince Harry also said during the CBS interview that they both felt trapped and didn't see a way out. The fate of a former Minneapolis police officer who pressed his knee into George Floyd's neck as the black man said he could not breathe will be decided by 12 people who will be picked after extensive grilling about their views. Jury selection begins today in the trial of Derek Chauvin, who was charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter in connection with Floyd's death. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Another big name is joining the Brooklyn Nets. They already have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. Now Blake Griffin has agreed to a deal with the Nets. He was just released by Detroit, cleared waivers. Griffin was a perennial All-Star, once the first overall pick of the draft, but he's 31. He's had injuries. He's nowhere near the player he was while with the L.A. Clippers. As usual in the NBA All-Star game, little to no defense was played in Atlanta. The game was won by the team picked by LeBron James, 170 to 150 over Team Kevin Durant, among LeBron's many achievements. Perfect in this role.
I hope that they allow me to retire from being an All-Star captain so I can retire with a perfect 4-0 record. I'll keep that forever, but we'll see what happens. But I always try to pick the right team.
He picked Giannis Antetokounmpo, the regular season MVP each of the last two seasons, and now All-Star Game MVP. It's now known as the Kobe Bryant Award, and Giannis scored 35 points. He made all 16 of his shots. Knicks rookie Obi Toppin was in the slam dunk competition held at halftime. He jumped over his Knicks teammate Julius Randle. He jumped over his own father, but he was beaten out by Portland's Anthony Simons. Steph Curry won the three-point contest. Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open last year, won the Arnold Palmer Golf at Bay Hill by one shot. On the ice, the Rangers, who've been red-hot, cooled off in Pittsburgh. Blue Shirts lost 5-1. Fifth straight win for the Islanders, 5-2 over Buffalo. The Devils ended a five-game slide with a 1-0 win at Boston. Yankees topped the Phillies 4-0 on a Brett Gardner grand slam. The Mets and Marlins, a 4-4 tie. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Futures fall as bond yields rise on this Monday morning. S&P futures down 28 points. Dow futures down 74. NASDAQ futures leading declines. They are down 230 points or 1.8%. 10-year Treasury down 10 30 seconds. Now the yield 1.60% on the 10-year note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are dropping as rising treasury yields bring renewed pressure to equities with lofty valuations. Brent crude is trading near $70 a barrel after Saudi Arabia said the world's largest crude terminal was attacked yesterday by a drone. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 30 points. Dow futures down 92. NASDAQ futures down 236. That's down 1.9%. DAX in Germany's up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 10/30 seconds, yield 1.60%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 26 cents at $65.83 a barrel. Brent crude is down 0.5% at $69.02. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $10.70 at $16.87.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1874 against the dollar. British pound 1.3824. And the yen is at 108.54. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Jury selection for the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is set to begin today. Chauvin, who is white, faces murder charges after he knelt on the neck of George Floyd, who was black, last year. Some stunning revelations in Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's interview with Oprah Winfrey, with the Duchess of Sussex saying she came close to suicide while pregnant with Archie. She also says that members of the royal family expressed concerns about how dark the color of her baby's skin would be. In the NHL, the Devils shut out the Bruins 1-0. The Rangers lost. The Islanders won, along with the Capitals. Team LeBron beat Team Durant in the NBA. Defense is optional All-Star game.
As always.
170 to 150.
Wow.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yeah, All-Star Game's always a shooting spree. Thank you, Michael. It is coming up to 5:20 now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And on this International Women's Day, March 8th, 2021, we are bringing you a powerhouse slate of analysts to get you set for the trading day and week ahead, starting off with Lori Calvesina, head of U.S. Equity Strategy at RBC Capital Markets. So great to have you with us this morning, Lori. And is it safe to say that we might see a theme developing in markets now as bond yields rise, shares led by tech sell off? Is that going to be the deal for a while?
Hi, well, thanks for having me on today, Nathan. Look, I think that there's a big debate going on now about what inning we're in here. What we see is that this is a repositioning that has been somewhat overdue for quite some time. You could have made the argument, I think, a couple of years ago, in fact, that some of these tech shares were overbought, but it's really been this move in bond yields that's really sparked this rotation away. And I think at the end of the day, this has been a painful rotation. It's happening. The bond yield is rising, I think, largely for reasons that were well anticipated by investors. But what we're finding out is that this has still been a rude awakening because on the equity side, at least, investors simply have not been positioned for these reflation trades. And so we're seeing tech is really the source of funding. And investors have had a very difficult time on the equity side letting go of some of those darlings. So I don't think this is fully played out yet.
Well, how much further do you think it has to run? I mean, could we be heading into a tech bear market, do you think?
I think some people might argue that we are already there. I will tell you that on my team, what we have decided to do is stick with a market weight on technology. Now, we are more underweight the communication services sector, which has some of those internet names in them. And we think that you have sort of a discrete set of risks and a discrete set of reasons why you don't want to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater here. On the positive side, I do think you have very strong underlying fundamentals, and that really hasn't changed. What's changed is that there are fundamentals that are strong in other sectors now. On the negative side, though, you have valuation froth, you have positioning froth. At some point, that will come down. At some point, that will be cast aside, and you'll have these strong fundamentals. But the valuations and the positioning are pretty lofty at this point.
When you look at fundamentals in other sectors, which ones are you looking at particularly?
So I'll tell you, my favorite sector today is, frankly, the financials. And it's one of these reflation plays. It's a sector that tends to outperform when bond yields are rising, inflation expectations are picking up, the yield curve is steepening. And you want the yield curve to steepen for the right reasons. Financials is probably your most cyclical play in the U.S. equity market right now at the sector level. And we think there's a lot of runway on those valuations. We do think that the improving economic data gives you a tailwind. One thing I like is that GDP expectations are continuing to rise this year. So I think that portends, good things for the earnings expectations of this sector. And it's been an area that a lot of investors, particularly hedge funds and ESG funds, which are getting a lot of capital these days, they've been underweight. So I think there is a pretty big repositioning that needs to happen in the financial space.
I'm sure you got to be taking a closer look at value now as opposed to growth, right?
We are, and we like value over growth. We have cautioned people, we aren't sort of sold yet on the idea that this is going to be a longer-term multi-year cycle. But certainly if you go back and you look at recessions over the past couple of decades, they do usher in a major change in style from growth to value or vice versa. So if we look back at the financial crisis, we flipped from value to growth, and that sort of growth rotation lasted for longer than a decade. I think what we need to do is think about what the longer-term economic picture looks like after we get out of 2021, 2022. Are we going to be in a period of time where economic growth is really gangbusters for a while, or are we simply going to be back into kind of the sluggish but positive growth environment we were in for much of the post-financial crisis period? If it's the latter, investors will go back to those growth shares, but if it's the former, then value might really have some serious longer-term legs.
Just 30 seconds left here, Lori, and I know you're head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC, but I'm curious if you have a take on the outperformance in Europe this morning.
Sure. Well, we don't make calls on regions, but we do like non-U.S. over U.S. And one of the things we found is that Europe tends to trend with the value trade in the U.S. And when the U.S. is outperforming, it's really an expression of growth strength. And so when we talk about growth underperforming in a rotation away, that does usually get accompanied by non-U.S. outperformance over U.S.
Thank you, Lori. Always great having you on with us. Lori Calvesina is head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. And as we take a look at the market picture on this Monday morning, futures falling as bond market or as bond yields rise. Right now, S&P futures are down 30, NASDAQ futures down 89. Tech-heavy NASDAQ futures leading the declines this morning, down 234 points. 10-year Treasury down 9/32. The yield just shy now of 1.6%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil prices are in focus after a key Saudi Arabian oil site was attacked. Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen are claiming responsibility. We get more from Bloomberg Energy reporter Aaron Clark.
Production from Saudi Arabia and exports don't appear to be impacted at this point. But you are seeing that knee-jerk reaction. Brent futures in London jumped as much as 2.6%. And this is after they rose nearly 5% last week.
And checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 17 cents at $65.93 a barrel. Brent is down 0.33% at $69.12.
And we're seeing weakness in equity markets this morning. Stocks in China dropped 3.5% and are now lower for the year. Here in the U.S., the NASDAQ is leading futures lower while Treasury yields rise. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
And Nathan, NASDAQ futures down 1.8% this morning. The rising bond yields continue to dominate investor attention and fan concerns about lofty tech valuations. Apple has slumped 15% since late January. Tesla has lost more than $250 billion in market value. More than $1.5 trillion has been wiped off the NASDAQ 100 in less than a month. And the yields continue to climb. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield this morning hovering around 1.6%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, on Capitol Hill, the House takes up the final version of President Biden's stimulus package tomorrow. The measure is expected to pass easily after the Senate made changes to appease moderates.
Everything in this package is designed to relieve the suffering and to meet the most urgent needs of the nation and put us in a better position to prevail.
Enhanced unemployment benefits expire in 6 days, providing incentive for lawmakers to get the bill passed.
You know, when it comes to the pandemic, weekly infections are back down to levels not seen since October. It's positive news, but still, Dr. Anthony Fauci says caseloads are too high. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
Fauci says even though the number of cases has declined from the high, it is still at a dangerously high plateau.
So the message we're saying is that we do want to come back carefully and slowly about pulling back on mitigation methods, but don't turn its switch on and off.
On CBS, he says get people vaccinated as quickly as possible and maintain the health measures. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Top Democrats in New York's legislature withdrew their support for Governor Andrew Cuomo amid mounting allegations. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins called on Cuomo to resign. Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie says that the governor should seriously consider whether he can effectively meet the needs of the people of New York. It comes after Cuomo had said earlier yesterday he would not step down. Cuomo's workplace conduct has been under intense scrutiny in recent days, as several women have accused him of inappropriate behavior.
People are free to make allegations, but then we also have a process of due process where people get the facts and then they make the determination.
Meanwhile, there's some good news for restaurants in New York State. Bloomberg's Renita Young reports.
Governor Andrew Cuomo said starting March 19th, New York restaurants outside of New York City are allowed to fill 75% of their seats. But that plan will be canceled if coronavirus numbers start to rise again. Cuomo said 59 people died statewide of COVID-19 on Saturday. That's the lowest one-day death toll since December 6th. Governor Cuomo did not indicate that the current 35% limit for restaurants in New York City would rise. This all comes as legislative leaders call for Cuomo's resignation over allegations of sexual harassment and his reporting of COVID-19 deaths at nursing homes. Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
No reaction yet from the British royal family after Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's explosive interview with Oprah Winfrey. Markle, speaking to Harpo Productions, says that she was having suicidal thoughts while she was married to Prince Harry and living in Kensington Palace.
I went to the institution and I said that I needed to go somewhere to get help. I said that I've never felt this way before and I need to go somewhere. And I was told that I couldn't, that it wouldn't be good for the institution.
Markle, who is biracial, also described during the CBS interview that when she was first pregnant with son Archie, there were concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be. Jury selection begins today in the trial for the former Minneapolis police officer, Derek Chauvin, who knelt on the neck of a black man, George Floyd, last year. Chauvin, who is white, is charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter in connection with Floyd's death. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Just before 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
Thanks, Nathan. They held the NBA All-Star Game in Atlanta last night. Team LeBron James outscored the team picked by Kevin Durant, 170-150. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who won the All-Star Game MVP, it's now known as the Kobe Bryant Award. Giannis scored 35 points. He made all 16 of his shots. Damian Lillard went for 32 points. Steph Curry had 28. They both made 8 three-pointers. The Knicks, Julius Randle, his All-Star debut, had a quiet night, only 4 points. As for the two Nets who played, Durant is injured. Kyrie Irving scored 24, James Harden 21. The two All-Stars from Philadelphia, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, both did not play. They had contact with a barber who had tested positive. The three Nets All-Stars are getting a new teammate in Brooklyn. Blake Griffin, former All-Star himself, once the first overall pick of the draft, just released by Detroit. He cleared waivers, has agreed to a deal with the Nets. Griffin is 31, has battled injuries. For his career, he averages 21 points and 9 rebounds a game. With the Pistons, he was averaging 12 and 5. Rangers were in Pittsburgh going for a 4th straight win. Mika Zibanejad scored just his 3rd of the year, minute 18 in. All Penguins from there, they won 5-1. Brock Nelson, 2 goals. Islanders beat Buffalo 5-2. The Devils on a late Kyle Palmieri goal won 1-0 in Boston. 40 saves for New Jersey goalie Scott Wedgwood. College hoops, Hofstra has advanced to the semifinals of the Colonial Tournament. The Yankees, Jordan Montgomery worked 3 innings, allowed just 2 hits. Yanks beat the Phillies 4-0 on a Brett Gardner grand slam off Zach Wheeler. The Mets, Jonathan Villar with a 3-run shot. Mets and Marlins, a 4-4 tie. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York's financial district is suffering because of a glut of office space. J.P. Morgan Chase is the latest high-profile tenant to look for an exit from the neighborhood, an historic part of Lower Manhattan that's home to the New York Stock Exchange and Federal Reserve. At 113 years old, Paragon Sports had already weathered one pandemic before COVID-19. Now the New York retailer has laid off most of its staff as it fights to survive. Paragon Sports cut more than 200 employees in April. The company almost parted ways with another 44 in January, but the Paycheck Protection Program helped it retain those workers. New York lawmakers could take on a politically weakened Governor Cuomo to push their own agenda, including attacks targeting the ultra-wealthy. Legislature could also pressure Cuomo to send additional recreational marijuana tax revenues to communities hardest hit by anti-drug laws. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. State lawmakers are said to be weighing a financial rescue for its power grid.
I'm Steve Podolsky on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about port congestion in the region bogging down imports into the U.S.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We are reporting on the beginning of the end of lockdown as all school pupils in England are allowed to go back to classrooms from today.
I'm Ed Curry on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Penske plans to acquire Kansas City Freightliner.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And we're coming off a winning week for stocks thanks to Friday's rally, but lofty valuations remain in focus as Wall Street gets back to work. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Just like last week, the focus is on rising bond yields and the reopening trade. Investors will also be taking apart a number of earnings reports. Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist at CFRA.
We have already built in the expectation for a strong growth in earnings in 2021 that is really expected to be replicated in 2022, looking for about 16% earnings growth in 2022 with revenues up about 7%.
Among some of the companies scheduled to report this week are the dating app Bumble, which went public last month, DocuSign, and Dick's Sporting Goods. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And on the economic front this week, inflation tops the agenda. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
Inflation worries have picked up, sending yields in the Treasury market higher as the economy's prospects improve. Yet there's no evidence we'll see a breakout in this week's data on February consumer prices based on Wall Street forecasts. Producer prices ran higher in January, but are projected to show moderation in February's tally, also set for this week. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are dropping, with NASDAQ 100 contracts tumbling as much as 2.3% at one point as rising Treasury yields push investors to exit riskier assets. Brent crude traded near $70 a barrel after Saudi Arabia said the world's largest crude terminal was attacked on Sunday by a drone. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 27 points. Dow futures down 70. NASDAQ futures down 222. That's down 1.7%. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.59%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1%, now up 6 cents at $66.15 a barrel. And Brent crude has erased its declines. It's now at $69.36 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $9.10 at $16.89.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1880 against the dollar. British pound 1.3851 and the yen 108.49. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was seen on video kneeling on George Floyd's neck last spring, is expected to begin today. The court has allotted 3 weeks for jury selection. A key moderate Democrat says he may be open to changing Senate rules that could allow for more party line votes to push through the White House's agenda. Senator Joe Manchin says he wants to retain the filibuster and that major legislation should always have minority party input. But Manchin suggests that there could be ways to loosen the current requirement of 60 senators to allow for passage of bills. Team LeBron beat Team Durant in the NBA All-Star Game 170-150. In the NHL, the Devils shut out the Bruins 1-0. The Rangers lost. The Islanders won along with the Capitals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we continue to track markets now with a female-led slate of analysts on this International Women's Day. Let's get more right now from Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco Advisors. So great to have you with us this morning, Christina, as we continue to watch the equity sell-off and bond yields rising. Where would you say we are right now in the reflation trade?
Well, we certainly have legs in the reflation trade. We saw last week, despite a pretty significant sell-off, we saw very strong performance coming from financials, from energy, traditionally very cyclical areas of the stock market. And I think that continues. Actually, it wasn't just last week. That was on aberration. We've seen that trend for a while now. I think that continues because this is a very strong economic recovery. And the passage of the stimulus bill, while it certainly raises concerns about inflation, also raises forecasts for GDP growth for 2021.
Now, there has been talk in some quarters that the bond sell-off we're seeing right now is raising memories of the 2013 taper tantrum. Would you go that far?
Well, it certainly has shades of that. But what I would say is that this is just a normal process that we're experiencing right now. We're getting adjusted. Markets are getting adjusted to what could very well be a very strong economic recovery. Just last year, if we look at where yields were, in February, mid-February, we were looking at yields of about a little over 1.6%. February 6th, we were at 1.65% on the 10-year. By March 9th, we were down to 0.54% on the 10-year. So a very dramatic change in a short period of time, adjusting to very diminished growth expectations. And now we're seeing the mirror image of that. And so there certainly is a period of friction and adjustment that we're experiencing in the stock market. I don't think we should worry about it.
Are you looking at a peak for where the 10-year note could head?
Well, certainly there are many that expect that it could get to 2% by the end of this year, and the question becomes how rapidly it gets there. I think we could see significant moves upward and some fluctuation. So I would expect us to get to the 2% level at the end of this year. We might get close to it sooner rather than later and see a pullback. This is not going to be completely orderly, but again, it is to be expected when we're seeing just such a change in growth expectations. Last summer, there wasn't a belief that we could even find a vaccine this quickly that could effectively combat COVID-19 at such highly effective levels. We're in a very different place now.
Now, where are you advising your clients in our last minute here on whether the stimulus that does appear to be set for quick passage this week could overheat the economy? Are you in that camp?
Well, I think it's less likely than most believe. Certainly, we could see a surge in transitory inflation once the economy reopens, once Americans are broadly vaccinated. But I just don't see this being a strong surge and a more permanent form of inflation. We just have too much labor market slack.
In about 30 seconds here, does the dip in equities present any buy opportunities for you?
Oh, absolutely. Certainly, we want to watch this play out. We could see, of course, more downward movement in the shorter term. But this time period represents buying opportunities. And for those who have a long time horizon and who have a list of exciting names that they couldn't afford or didn't want to pay for, this could very well be a very exciting time.
Christina Hooper, Invesco Advisors, thank you, as always, for your insights. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The relief package passed by the Senate over the weekend is headed back to the House. President Biden could sign the package this week.
Observers say the Federal Communications Commission will likely sign off on Verizon's bid to buy TracFone Wireless, but they expect the agency to demand some concessions from Verizon. A proposed $40 million settlement between Intuit and taxpayers who charged for tax services they should have received for free was rejected as inadequate.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. What happens when a high school student gets kicked off the cheerleading squad over a profane photo made off campus? Well, in the case of the teenager known as BL, the Supreme Court will decide whether the school violated her First Amendment rights. The Justice Department has filed a brief telling justices the federal appeals court got it wrong when it ruled the school had violated her free speech rights. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with First Amendment expert Eugene Volokh, a professor at UCLA Law School.
Eugene, tell us about the Third Circuit's opinion.
The Supreme Court in the Tinker case said that students' free speech rights don't stop at the schoolhouse gate. But what if the student is speaking outside the schoolhouse gate? Can the student be disciplined on the grounds that the effects of her speech are disruptive at the school? And lower courts have split on the subject. The Third Circuit says no. Student speech outside school is, generally speaking, protected from school retaliation. Other circuits say, well, no, if the speech seems likely to be seen at school or be seen by students and others, then it may have effects that are disruptive at school, and that could be just as bad as disruptive speech at school. And that's the question that the Supreme Court is going to have to be resolving. To what extent can off-campus speech leads to discipline because of its on-campus effect?
The Justice Department says the Third Circuit misread Tinker. Is the Justice Department taking that position because of the categorical rule that the Third Circuit set?
Well, so the Justice Department is trying to chart something of a middle course. On one hand, it acknowledges that off-campus speech should generally be protected from retaliation by the school. And I think that's got to be right. But the Justice Department says there are situations in which the school authorities do have to have some authority to punish off-school speech. The one that they view as applicable here is probably the most troublesome one, just because it's so hard to figure out. If it intentionally targets specific school functions or programs regarding matters essential to or inherent in the functions or programs themselves, says the government. And it suggests that here what was happening is she was intentionally targeting her cheerleading team by expressing contempt for the project. But what if somebody were to say, you know, I think our history program has become too woke and become too critical race theory? Well, is that intentional targeting regarding matters essential to or inherent in the functions or programs so that a student can be disciplined in school for that? I don't think that can be right.
And that's UCLA Law Professor Eugene Volokh speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures moving lower, down 24 points. Dow futures down 46. NASDAQ futures are falling, down 202 or 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.59%. And the yield on the two-year, 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil is little changed. Our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.